Thank you, Peace Chapel, for giving and worshiping him today, and also with your giving to missions. Friend of the church, doing what God's called him to do, and we're a part of that. It's just a beautiful picture. I want to tell you something this morning. Easter is in 7 weeks, April 20th. It's going to be a wonderful day. And so according to recent statistics, 60 to 80% of people, that's 6 to 8 out of 10 people, are likely to attend church if personally invited by someone that they know, by a family member or friend. So in other words, they will come if invited by someone that they know, you and I. So I want to encourage you to be praying about who you can invite for that day, Sunday the 20th, Easter Sunday. People generally think, well, maybe where should I go to church? You ask and bring them, and we'll have a great day. 7 weeks. Well, relationships is our year-long theme, and God is passionate about his relationship with you and me, and that passion runs through every area of our life, our marriage, our finances, our employment, our friendships, our finance, all of it, all of it. He's passionate about all of it. And last week, we began a series, Relationship with the Church. If we're Christians, then we have a relationship with God's church, right? Not only here at Peace Chapel, but the church worldwide. And as we are a part of God's church, last week we talked about growing pains. Growing pains. As kids and teenagers, right, we had physical growing pains. As adults, we also go through other types of growing pains, like emotional and relational growing pains, even spiritual growing pains. Growing pains with our finances or with health choices. God has designed us for relationships, and that's a part of our DNA. And we talked about in Acts chapter 6, the early church had some growing pains. And God doesn't want us to just go through the pain as a church. God wants us to grow through the pain, to grow through it. Growing pains in a church means something is growing, something's moving, something's happening. God is wanting to stretch his church, to stretch you and me, and choosing to grow through the uncomfortable to see what God does. God wants us also to change, to grow through the growing pains and become more like his son Jesus. Romans 2:4 says, God has been very kind to you and he has been patient with you. God has been waiting for you to change. God is kind to you so that you will change your hearts and lives. We need God's help even to change, don't we? If we ask him, he'll help us. He'll step in. Rick Warren says this, there is no growth without change. There is no change without loss. And there is no loss without pain. If you are going to grow, you will have to change. And change means letting go of some of the old things in order to grab hold of some new things. If you've got something in your hand, you cannot receive anything else, right? You've got to open that hand up, let it go to receive something new. Philippians 1:6, God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in grace. As a church, right, we are experiencing growing pains. God is doing something new and bringing people and families into Peace Chapel, looking for God, looking for faith, looking for community and connections. Somebody may sit in our seat or park in our parking spot or unknowingly, or someone may eat our favorite donut in the Coffee Connection, right? I'm being silly, but you understand, right? Sometimes we'll come in and it's a little different. When there's growing pains, there will be change. As you and I change, the church changes. When I was at North Central University, it's a Bible college in downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where I became a Viking fan. I have to say it every time, so that's where I became a fan. I had a friend in college who was a grade older than I was, who was just really funny. He was just really funny. Funny phrases, funny stories, funny jokes, funny facial expressions. And you just wanted to hang around with this guy because you didn't know what he was going to say or do next, right? He was spontaneous. He was just funny. Lots of laughter at our table in the lunchroom. There would be times that he would jokingly say to me, put his hand on my shoulder and say, Spence, you've got a lot of growing up to do. And that's what I did. I laughed, right? Like you did. Everyone laughed. It was hilarious, right? I would even say that to others to try to get the same response. Hey, you've got a lot of grown-up to do. Nobody laughed. But here's the funny part. Here's the funny part, right? I think he was actually serious when he told me I had a lot of growing up to do. I think he meant it, right? I believe he was, you know, the truth is I really did have a lot of growing up to do. I think he was being passive-aggressive. I'm 19. I don't know what passive-aggressive means, right? In a joking manner, he was telling me to grow up. Ouch. That's a stinger, right? All these years later, I look back, wait a second, he wasn't being funny. He was telling me that. Wait a second. I'm going to call him up and tell him what I think of him. He was telling me that I was being very immature. You know, boom, roasted. I just laughed it off, but in all truthfulness, I really did have a lot of growing up to do in my life. I believe we've all had moments of immaturity. The definition of immaturity is having a behavior that is appropriate to someone younger, emotionally undeveloped, juvenile, childish. So what we're going to do today is we're all going to share a story of when we were immature. And I'll begin. No, I'm kidding. We don't have time. We don't have time. All right. The American poet Ogden Nash says this, "You are only young once, but you can stay immature indefinitely." That could sometimes be our life motto, right? But there's a big difference between being childish and childlike. Childish and childlike, right? Being childish shouts, "I want, I need, I demand my way." This childishness is growing more and more in our society, in the news, and if you watch it, and people behave like juveniles, very immature. The truth is this morning, we can look at them and say, well, look at them, but we can spot immaturity in others easier than we can in ourselves. For a million different reasons, we all know that we all can act and react immaturely, even childish at times. So tell your neighbor, you've got a lot of growing up to do. There's a low murmur. Well, some of you really meant it. Easy, easy. You have a lot of growing up to do. Childish, childlike. It's the simple act of trusting in God who gives us peace beyond our circumstances that we face. It's living our lives loving God and loving others, right? If you boil the Ten Commandments down to two, love God, love others, that's what childlike means. Being a part of this sinful, selfish world, we're broken and we don't always do and say the right things. Maturing in the Lord is a theme woven throughout Scripture about God's people, His church, you, me, maturing in our faith, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in everyday life. So this involves being in relationship with the church, God's people, you right here in this room. So the title of my message on our relationship with the church this morning is Growing Up. Growing Up. You see, our relationship with the church means that we must grow. We must change. We must keep growing and maturing in this relationship with God. You see, if we were to stop, if we were to even pause in our journey of becoming more Christ-like, we're actually moving backwards into our old ways if we're stopping on this journey. See, we're not working our way to heaven with our good deeds. That's not how we get to heaven, right? It's by grace that we've been saved. We are striving to grow in the Lord. And as followers of Jesus, we must continue to grow up. God's word has a lot to say about growing closer to God, about maturing, about growing in maturity and growing spiritually. The Bible's full. Paul, in his first letter to the believers in Corinth, was telling them that in many ways they were acting like immature children. They were associating spiritual gifts as spiritual maturity. But you see, it's not the spiritual gifts that make them mature. It's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control working in their lives that makes them mature. In other words, growing up. See, it's not the gifts. Look at me, look what I can do, but here's what God's doing in me. It was like Paul was saying to them, you've got a lot of growing up to do, when he was writing that letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, Paul said, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. When I was a kid, I had a big box of Legos, and I had electric trains that I used to play with all the time, but this verse is really talking about more maturity, right? Growing up, about intentionally growing more and more like Jesus, not settling. Oh, I've been to church, I've heard this message, I've read that verse, but intentionally saying, okay, show me what you want me to know, God. I open my heart up one more time. It's remaining childlike, but not childish. Well, question this morning, how do infants, children, and adolescents act? Well, in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro, he lays out how infants and children and adolescents and even adults behave, okay? So there's a comparison here. Infants, okay, they cry when they have a need. They wait for their parents to kind of figure out what that need is, and then they get angry if the parents are inattentive, okay? Infants. Adults as emotional infants, they treat others as objects to meet their needs. They act like tyrants and they win through intimidation and are unable to empathize with others. Children can communicate, but they're dependent on others. They act out feelings of pain and fear and resentment. They lack the skill to openly discuss and negotiate to get their needs met. Adults, as emotional children, they act out of resentment through distance and pouting and whining and clinging and lying and withholding and appeasing. They don't openly and honestly express their needs. Adolescence rebels against parental authority, defines self in reaction to others around them. Fears being treated as a child. Don't tell me what to do. Adults, as emotional adolescent, they can't give without feeling controlled or resentful. The capacity for mutual concern is missing in their life. They're defensive and threatened by criticism. So Paul is saying that we need to put away the childish ways to grow up. The good news for believers is our earthly life is like childhood, but in heaven we'll be fully mature. But the reality is, as long as we live on this earth, we must continue to grow and put away childish things. And I know what you're thinking, because I'd be thinking the same thing. I wish so-and-so was here right now to hear that, right? The writer of Hebrews says this to the church in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. So we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. You see, there is action to be done by us here. Get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up, especially the sin that distracts, holds onto us so tightly, the sin that easily catches us, the sin that entangles us, the sin that holds us back. But what's interesting is this verse also isn't just saying the sin that won't let go, but everything. Even some good things in our lives can slow us down, distract us, hold on to our hearts, entangle our time, and hold us back. And Paul put away those childish things and keep running the race, he encouraged. Ephesians chapter 4. reading verse 11 through 16, says this: Christ chose some of us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers, verse 12, so that his people would learn to serve and his body would grow strong. This will continue until we are united by our faith and by our understanding of the Son of God. Then we will be mature just as Christ is, and we will be completely like him. Verse 14, we must stop acting like children. We must not let deceitful people trick us by their false teachings, which are like winds that toss us around from place to place. Love should always make us tell the truth. Then we will grow in every way and be more like Christ, the head of the body. Christ holds it all together and makes all of its parts work perfectly, and it grows and becomes strong because of love. According to these verses that we just saw on the screen, what I just read, maturity is the goal. It's about stopping one thing, being childish, and starting something else, maturing in Christ. You see, it doesn't matter if you are just beginning a relationship with Jesus or you've been a follower for a very long time, we're all to mature in the Lord. It's about growing up. Have you ever said this to someone? Will you grow up? Right? Will you grow up? Maybe they're being childish in whatever they're doing and acting or saying, and it's annoying and it's frustrating you. Will you grow up? Has anyone ever said that to you? Will you grow up? Maybe a spouse, a parent, a teacher, a coach, or a friend. Maybe they want you to act more mature and stop behaving childishly, right? Again, you're thinking, man, I wish so-and-so was here. So it's not in that tone of frustration. Will you grow up? That's not what we're asking. But as a question, will you grow up in the Lord? Will you take the next step? In our relationship with the church, it takes every single one of us growing up to maturity. Again, I said this just a few minutes ago, as you and I change, the church changes. As you and I step closer to God, the church gets closer to God. As you and I open our hearts and we give to our tithe, we give to missions, God has been doing something in us as we volunteer, as we serve, as we love, as we pray, encourage one another. The church is growing. We're growing. How do you know if you're growing spiritually? How do you know if you're growing spiritually? What indicators are there that suggest that you're maturing in the Lord? Good questions. I'm glad that you guys raised them and were asking this morning, because I'm going to talk about it right now. You see, a good indicator or marker that you're growing up is I'm grounded in the Word. I'm grounded in His Word. Now, the word grounded might trigger some thoughts for some of you. It has different meanings, right? Being grounded by your parents meant that you were being punished. My brother reminded me of this story recently. My older sister, my older brother got in trouble, and my dad said, okay, you can get a spanking right now or be grounded. Well, my brother's like, spanking, I'll get it done, get it over with. Ball a few tears, he's out playing outside. My sister said a week, grounded for a week. So he's outside in the window going, and she's inside, right, for a week. So I'm not talking about that kind of grounding, but there's also the power of ground. The power is grounded means that the electrical circuit is tied to the earth through a dedicated grounding wire, making it safe for excess electricity to discharge into the ground. Doesn't hurt anybody. But we're not talking about that. Being grounded in His Word means that you know what Scripture says. You may not know all of it or understand all of it, but you kind of know what it says. Alone, you read, you study, you apply God's Word to grow spiritually on your own. It's allowing the Bible to shape and mold your heart. You see, it's not making His Word say what you want it to say or to skip over difficult parts because you don't agree with it. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to say, God, reveal yourself, reveal your truth to me in your Word. Paul encourages the church in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that he has done. Let your roots grow down deep. Be nourished in Jesus. Take responsibility and keep growing in the Lord. When you do that, you will be strong in the truth. A really good marker that you're growing up is that you are grounded in God's Word. You are a student of Scripture. The writer of Hebrews describes a mature grown-up in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for those who are grown up. They are mature enough to know the difference between good and evil. Growing followers of Jesus have moved from the infant milk. They are eating solid food now. Remember as parents and grandparents seeing your kids move from milk to solid food, right? They begin to grow. They begin to grow. And their lives are marked with maturity, knowing right from wrong. I've said this before, but a great tool to be in Scripture every day is the YouVersion Bible app. It's God's Word. It's with you wherever you go on your phone, and you have it available. It's got devotions in there and Scriptures, and you can spend time wherever you're at. Are you grounded in God's Word? Another good indicator or marker that you're growing up is I'm discipled in His Word. I'm discipled in His Word. In your relationship with the church, being discipled is learning and growing alongside others. It's time in God's Word with others in a small group or a class to help you see what needs to grow in you. Whether it's a young adult, men's or women's, or the Sunday school small group, the goal is maturity. The goal is growing together. Paul used his wisdom to warn and to teach and disciple the believers in the church of Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says this, we announce the message about Christ, and we use all our wisdom to warn and teach everyone, so all of Christ's followers will grow and become mature. The goal is maturity in the Lord, growing up together, right? You are being discipled as a follower of Pastor Spence. No, right? I just woke some of you up. You must be a discipled as a follower of Jesus. Together you come and you listen and you study and you grow and you pray for one another. Something happens in that context. Growing together. A quick poll this morning. Raise a hand if you've arrived spiritually and have this Christian life all figured out. Anyone? Listen to Paul's heart. Listen to Paul's confession in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually, nor do I consider myself already perfect. Now let's just stop right there. Paul, this guy wrote half the New Testament, right? This is his words, but I keep going on, grasping ever more firmly that purpose for which Christ grasp me. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have fully grasped it even now, but I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal, my reward, the honor of being called by God in Christ. If the apostle Paul hadn't arrived yet spiritually, we won't either. But Paul didn't stay in the past. Right? He pressed forward. Growing up means being discipled with one another. I'm going to just blow someone's mind this morning, but being discipled doesn't happen right now in this setting. It doesn't. This is good. We need to come together to worship the Lord and to encourage and to pray for one another and to hear the word spoken. But being discipled happens in a smaller context. A lot of preachers will say rows are good, but circles are better, right? We're in a circle together, life on life, and I'm struggling with this, and what does God's Word say about this? And we're growing, we're getting sharpened, we're being stretched. It's being intentional about being discipled in God's Word. You can't just do this at night and expect the Word of God just to absorb into your spirit, right? I wish it did, right? Are you being discipled with others? Another good indicator or marker that you're growing up is, I'm not giving up growing up. I'm not giving up growing up. Life is very difficult, and there's a lot of pain in your world. Sometimes there are no easy answers to life's tough questions. James, he was the half-brother of Jesus, reminds the church in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to what? Endure until your testing is over. Then you will be mature and complete, and you won't need anything." And looking at those verses, it seems the word grow is linked with the word mature. When you grow in the Lord, you're becoming mature in Him. When your faith is tested and you endure, you know what? You're growing up. And I'm growing up. But there's a sense of tenacity in you about following the Lord. You get knocked down, but you get back up. You face hardships and trials, but you face them with Jesus. An out-of-towner drove his car into a ditch in a desolate area, and luckily a local farmer came to help with his big, strong horse named Buddy. And so he hitched Buddy up to the car and yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull!" Buddy didn't move. Then the farmer hollered, "Pull, Buster, pull!" Buddy didn't respond. Once more the farmer commanded, "Pull, Coco, pull!" Nothing. Then the farmer nonchalantly said, "Pull, Buddy, pull." And the horse easily dragged the car out of the ditch. And the motorist was thankful and very curious. You know, he asked the farmer why he called his horse by the wrong name three times. And the farmer said, "Well, old Buddy here is blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try. You're not alone on this journey. When a toddler that is learning to walk and falls, right, they don't stay down and say, "I'm done. I'm not even going to try anymore." They keep trying until they walk. They keep trying. You can't quit. You need us and we need you. You're in this relationship with the church like the rest of us. Like it or not, the person next to you is going to be in heaven with you. You better love on them now, right? You better be friendly. Determined today, I'm not giving up growing up. Good indicators that you are growing up is that you're grounded in God's Word. You're being discipled in His Word. You're giving up growing up. You're not giving up growing up. You just won't quit. Relationship with the church. You see, to be a part of God's church, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? See, once you make that decision, God places us into a relationship with the church, with other believers, and it's an amazing family. And together in that family, we must keep growing up. Just like in your family, when you had little ones running around, right? Something would be wrong if they weren't growing. The kids are having fun downstairs right now. That's awesome. I love that. You see, as followers of Jesus, we can't stay infants and children forever. As Christ followers, we must keep growing in the Lord. We can't even stay teenagers indefinitely. There comes a time in all our lives when we decide that we must keep growing up to maturity. There comes a point where we're like, "I'm just tired of this merry-go-round that I'm on. I'm tired of struggling with the same sin. I need to grow. I need to change." And we reach out for God. Maturity in the Lord doesn't mean that we become boring and we become stuffy and legalistic. That's not what it means, but we're free to truly live. We're grounded in His Word. We're personally growing every day. We're discipled in God's Word. We're growing alongside others. Because you know what? We can't always, we all have blind spots. We can't always see what we need to see. And others can say, hey, listen, I love you, but... And we're not giving up growing up. Those are some good indicators. So just as my friend back in college was very passive-aggressive in his style and told me I had a lot of growing up to do, my hands up, I still do. As a follower of Jesus, I still need to grow up in so many ways. Our prayer, Lord, I admit I have a lot of growing up to do. You see, that shouldn't cause us to throw our hands up in despair. No, we open our hearts to you, God. Help us to grow. We don't have the strength, but when we are weak, He is strong. We sang it. Because we're grounded in God's Word, because we're discipled in God's Word, we can stand on God's promises. We're not standing alone. We're in this relationship with the church. And we're not giving up growing up. Let's pray.